This month, we've featured a series on educating Latinos, and we conclude today with a look at assimilation. First, second, even third generation teenagers often feel torn between the traditions of their parents and American youth culture. NPR's Claudio Sanchez talked about assimilation with families in Los Angeles, rural Georgia, and Chicago.
The Tejeda Van Medved family, Stanley, Rocio, and their three teenage daughters, lives comfortably in one of Chicago's most affluent suburbs, Highland Park. Their small, elegant dining room opens up into a cozy study and library where the family gathers to read or just talk.
Well, I came to this country with no language, no English language. It took me 3 months, and I put everything on the side just to learn it, because I knew it. Without this, I'm nobody here.
Stanley Van Medved, an architect, met his wife Rocio 4 years ago. She's Mexican, he's Polish, and they're passionate about their cultural heritage.
No one's going to take away from me the fact that I'm Polish, that I was born in Poland, that I'm proud of it.
Here, people perceive Mexicans as dishwashing employees and educated people. It is part of the reality, but you cannot generalize and judge a full country.
Rocio hates the way Mexicans are viewed in this country because she says it affects her teenage daughters. Both Rocio and her husband have children from a previous marriage. But they're both convinced that children of immigrants should be proud of where they come from. When Rocio talks about her beloved Mexico, tears stream down her cheeks.
I grew up with so much love and so much dedication from my parents. And I think that was what attached me to my country, to my music, to my buildings. And that's what I wanted my kids to see. To see that that's my culture. Then they'll feel proud, and then they're rich at heart and soul. And then that deserves respect.
Rocio apologizes. Stanley gets up and comes back ready to pour everybody a shot of tequila. We all laugh. But the tone of the conversation is serious, because as Stanley points out, it's about the way immigrant families are raising their kids.
We literally controlled who is on a phone.
Stanley has even put up a list on the refrigerator door with the penalties for not doing homework. That's 2 points. Leaving a messy room, 1 point. And the girls are not allowed to go out with kids who drink, smoke, or use foul language.
Having tough parents like us, well, we just contribute to their future.
17-year-old Saida listens quietly. At home, she seems reluctant to talk about her parents' restrictions. But at school, during a class break, Saida agrees to talk openly about the pressure that she and her sisters feel because of their parents' strong views.
My parents, they're very overprotective, just because, again, we are females, and they think that we should be taken care of a little bit more because we're more delicate. My curfew is 10 o'clock, and nobody else I know is 10 o'clock. It makes you look like so uptight. Even if it's the most innocent thing, that you just want to go hang out with your friends, go watch a movie.
Saida concedes that her parents' conservative cultural values are the reason she and her two sisters are so well prepared, not just for college, but for life. Not far from here, though, in little towns that aren't as wealthy as Highland Park, many poor working-class Latino parents don't have the time or energy to supervise their teenage children, let alone control their schedules, screen who they go out with, or make sure they do their schoolwork. Which is not to say that Mexican teenagers who are growing up poor are totally lost or not ambitious. Meet 15-year-old Froilan Gil, the hottest DJ in Mundelein, Illinois. Froilan says his future is in the music business, but he can't convince his parents of that. All that Froilan's dad has known since he came from Mexico is landscaping work. He declines to be interviewed, but it's clear that he disapproves of his son's crazy plans. Froilan says they've had big fights about all the money he's been putting into CD players, mixers, strobe lights, and voice synthesizers.
Yeah, he thought it was just a waste of money sometimes, and he didn't like want to help me, so I just started working by myself.
Froilan is living in a different world than his father. If he decides to stay in school or go into business, he'll make that decision on his own. And that music coming from his basement hideaway, That's what keeps Froilan going.
It's called Guacharaca, and it's really hitting everywhere, Mexico, Los Angeles. This is the song that is like really hitting everything is like number one right now.
Like the Guacharaca, teenagers like Froilan are not entirely Latino or American. Sadly, many are growing up estranged from their parents, and that's taking a toll. Schools in most places are either helpless or clueless. Even powerful institutions in the Latino community, like the Catholic Church, have had limited success keeping families together. This is Dolores Mission in the nation's Latino cultural heartland, Los Angeles. Here, in Boyle Heights, one of the oldest Mexican-American neighborhoods in L.A., gangs have replaced families, and too many kids have grown up alienated.
What you find here is a despair often enough among the young that's pretty deep and dark and pervasive.
Father Greg Boyle was once the pastor of the Lotus Mission. He now runs a jobs program a few blocks away.
I don't think the country has ever come to terms with permanent underclass, where people can't retrieve an image when things were better. When you say upward mobile, they don't know what that is. They've never seen it, they've never experienced it, they don't know anybody who has.
Least of all, immigrant parents who've come fleeing poverty, but who've had to settle for backbreaking work that doesn't cover the rent or the monthly food bill. In their children's eyes, these parents are failures.
I'm ashamed of being Mexican.
Filiberto Gonzalez is a former gang member and high school dropout.
I remember living like my aunts, uncles, in like one little bedroom house. 15 of us in one bedroom house.
Back then, says Filiberto, school was pointless. And for the longest time, he thought only white people had nice houses, good jobs, and enough money to send their kids to private school. Today, at age 21, Filiberto is single with a steady job and sorry that he hasn't done more with his life. Self-loathing, researchers say, is often a sure sign that kids have become alienated, not just from their parents, but society. It's an affliction that's all too common in cities like Los Angeles. In smaller communities across this country, though, Latino immigrant families seem to be writing a new chapter.
Larry Ranch is stacked up by the Johnson defense.
High school football on Friday nights always brings out the mostly white community in Gainesville, Georgia. But up in a corner of the bleachers, Latinos have carved out their own cheering section, just like they've carved out a living in this small town north of Atlanta. Mexican families have arrived in droves, lured by jobs and a way of life that's more familiar, small town life. Immigrant children and their parents here are making a smoother, perhaps healthier transition. Tonight, way up in the stands, Juan and Irene Montes admit they don't know the first thing about American football. But their youngest son is the punter on the Johnson High School football team. He's number 13.
My son, his name is Jorge Montes, Jorge Luis Montes. Some people, they want to call him George. He say, no, my real name is Jorge, and that's a real Hispanic name.
Yeah. How's he doing in school?
He's doing great. He's a good athlete, good boy. He's a hard-working man.
Montes says all of his children have been good, hard-working kids. That's why they're going to be successful in this country, he said.
Because, you know, if you're a good people, everybody's going to treat you good. But if you become a bad, you know, a bad person, everybody's going to treat you bad. And I believe that's everywhere. Yeah. The people around here, you know, the American people, the white people, black people, they are good people.
Montes says that's why he loves Gainesville. This is a place where Latino families can raise their children to love their culture and be good Americans, says Montes. A place where it's harder for Latino parents to lose their children. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.
And there's more about this story on our website, including links to more resources for Latino education and pictures of the families in today's story, all of that at npr.org.